You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 16 July. We've got local retail sales for June due 1 p.m. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Ntobeli Bapela from FNB Wealth and Investments. Clicks versus Dis-Chem. Similar-ish, although different. It's either worth adding to a portfolio. We will pick her brains on that. Mike Brown, ETFSA, state of the exchange traded product market so far in 2025. Then Simone Cooper from Standard Bank. African business expanding into global markets. And I suspect also perhaps African businesses expanding into African markets. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, the evaporating MTI pot of funds of the $1.1 billion in Bitcoin recovered by the joint liquidators in 2021. Only $550 million remained by December 2024. Business day, mining output surprises with May uptick as gold sales soar. Iron ore drives modest production gains. Gold sales surge 330%. Morning markets, yours was mixed. S&P down 0.4% and NASDAQ up 0.1%. The 10-year is at 4.483%. That 4.5 is a dangerous number. And the East is mostly green. Sydney, the exception, off 0.1%. Tokyo up 0.1%. Hong Kong 0.6% higher, as is Tencent. Commodities are mixed. Gold futures, $3,340 an ounce. Brent, $68.84. Platinum unchanged, $1,419. And palladium is green, $1,254. The Rand is $17.88. Bitcoin, $117,400. Top 40 opening call, red open expected, 375 points or 0.4% lower.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Ntobeli Bapela, investment research analyst, FNB Wealth and Investments. Ntobeli, appreciate the early morning time. Clicks, Dis-Chem, I think to many of us, maybe as shoppers, we kind of think of them the same. Differences, Dis-Chem may be a little more big box. Clicks, certainly a lot more stores out there. With your sort of analyst hat on, when you look at them, is differences between them a preference to either or perhaps neither?
Hi, Simon. I think, you know, definitely the retail pharmacy sector is an interesting one, very much dominated by both the two heavyweights. And at face value, as you said, yes, rather similar. Both operate, you know, nationwide pharmacy chains, both have expanded aggressively, and both are riding the wave, so to speak, of formalization in the healthcare retail space. But when you do dig a little deeper, the investment case does start to diverge just a bit. On the one hand, you know, Clicks has built a reputation for consistency and operational excellence. They've grown the store base double digits over the past 5 years. They're sitting at over 940 outlets with plans to reach 1,200 in the medium term. So quite aggressive.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they definitely benefit because of that on the sort of strategic focus on convenience, on high density areas, access to prioritizing accessibility as well. So an interesting fact that over 76% of their stores are located in areas where more than half of South Africans live within 5 kilometers. So yeah, very much a strong underpin for foot traffic and turnover for them. But also, you know, Clicks boasts a strong private label strategy, which is sort of bolsters their margin performance, but also customer loyalty, of course. But I think also the investments in digital infrastructure has been a big win for them. You know, the national prescription management system, definitely strong for them in a country where chronic illnesses are on the rise due to an aging population. On the other hand, when we look at Dis-Chem, you know, under new leadership and with equally ambitious expansion plans, they've been holding their own as well. They've been expanding rapidly to try and sort of close that gap with Clicks. Not quite getting there as yet, but they've developed a very strong presence in the health and wellness space, but also in the beauty offerings as well. And perhaps, maybe fair to say, because of this, they faced some margin pressure and high operating costs relatively due to the expansion efforts, but also partly due to their more sort of labor-intensive business model that they run. And I think that, you know, while Dis-Chem has made strides in growing their footprint and also their distribution capability, it just hasn't matched Clicks in terms of the sort of operational efficiency or earnings predictability that we've seen thus far. And so to answer your question, from a portfolio allocation perspective, I think both are solid businesses in mm-hmm. a resilient sector. I mean, yes, macro headwinds have put pressure on consumer spend, sure. but the long-term prospects for both companies remain quite attractive. I just think that Clicks has better merits here. Yeah, a history of stable earnings, efficient capital allocation, and strong sort of growth potential, especially as the sector consolidates further. So yeah, I think Clicks, even just from a valuation perspective, does demand a higher rating, but I think it is justified given, you know, the edge in terms of the quality of earnings strategy and I guess overall investor confidence.
I take your point. Very similar, but Clicks perhaps does have that edge, and certainly Clicks has proven. I was going to say year in and year out, truthfully, or decade in mm-hmm. and decade out. They've got that proof there that they have absolutely done it. Appreciate the analysis, Simthobile Phephela from FNB Wealth and Investments. Thanks for the early morning time. That's our poll today: LinkedIn and Twitter, Clicks or Dis-Chem. Simthobile says there that Clicks is her preferred. Which is yours? Perhaps you prefer a bit of both. Perhaps neither. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation beating returns. Let your money keep working with Standard Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Mike Brown, founder of ETFSA. Mike, appreciate the time. Your latest quarterly report on the state of the exchange-traded product market is out. That is for end June. What we are seeing, and this is a continuing trend, we're seeing the assets under management in the ETP space, which of course is ETFs, actively managed ETNs, as well as AMCs. We're seeing good growth, and it's not just market that's helping it. It is inflows into the sector.
Yes, there's consistent growth. You know, since the end of 2024, there's been a 14% increase in the total size of the industry, you know, measured by market capitalization. It's now 258 billion rand, so it's a bigger and bigger industry. And there's more and more products. Now 284 listed exchange-traded products on the JSE. Some of them are ETFs, some are ETNs, and more of them are actively managed certificates or actively managed ETFs. So there's a broad expansion in the industry, which I think is quite favorable. It says that there's exchange-traded products are typically used by all sorts of investors, but notably by retail investors, and that's great that they've got access to products which are giving them good returns and very low costs and, of course, lots of transparency because they're on a listed exchange.
You mentioned that growth. I mean, the ETF growth, which, of course, is, you know, where these ETPs started almost 25 years ago, has slowed. But we're seeing really notable in the actively managed certificates and ETFs and also the exchange-traded notes. And it's that broadening of the options for the investor when we see that growth in the actively managed and the ETNs.
Yes, the actively managed is an interesting situation because when ETFs first started, they just tracked indices.
Yep.
And as you say, it's almost exactly 25 years ago since Satrix listed their first product in November 2000. So you must have a birthday party in November just to celebrate. But yeah, you know, what we've seen more recently is that active managers, you know, people who go out and try and outperform the market by actively picking individual securities or following specific themes or types of investment strategies, that's becoming increasingly growth area for exchange traded products because an active manager by listing on the stock exchange then takes care of all his trading and his secondary trading and his settlements and his custodianship and requires transparency. So he's got to publish every day what's in his portfolio. And they're quite happy to do that because I think they're seeing that this is a big area of growth for them, being able to make their actively managed portfolios available to investors across the spectrum.
It is that range. And notwithstanding the growth in the new types of ETPs, I mean, ETFs are not being left behind. I mean, capital raised in the first 6 months of the year, just over 14 billion, almost 10 billion into the ETFs. There is still lots of love for passive.
Yes, there's lots of love for just pure index tracking. the characteristics of the first 6 months was quite a lot of that went into commodities, because that's quite unique that you can buy gold bullion or platinum group metals, you know, not through mining companies, but just purely buying the metal on global markets through ETFs, and that's part of it. The other one is that I think a lot of investors still prefer the JSE as the way of investing globally by buying foreign referenced ETFs on the stock exchange, and rather than taking the money outside of South Africa and having all the problems of exchange rates, conversions, and so on and so forth. So I think the convenience of being able to buy a foreign referenced exchange traded funds in the JSE is a good area of growth, and I think it'll continue.
Yeah, and you mentioned the commodities, both New Gold and the One Invest Gold ETF, both doing over $2 billion of inflows during the period, which just shows the number. Satrix, still the big one, and particularly, obviously, it was last year, they took over many of the ABSA ETFs, and that really has propelled them into first place in terms of market capitalization, followed closely by Signia, and then, of course, ABSA, and they're really coming up with those commodity ones, really boosting them. But, I mean, Satrix is what, $80 billion, Signia at $47 billion, ABSA just under $47 billion. Big numbers.
Yes, Citrix is, you know, that's the passive part of the Sanlam business. Mm. It's really growing. It's it was just a little bit bigger than the other issuers. It's now making that gap wider and wider. And I think that's because Citrix has got the right sort of products in every type of market, whether you want to buy bonds or global equities or local equities or listed property or other types of asset classes. Citrix covers all that. And I think they are getting bigger and bigger. They're about 30%, I think it's now 32% of the total ETP industry in South Africa. Now, that's a lot for one single issuer.
Yeah.
So I think lots of people are going to be trying to take up some of their space, and that's nice. That's very competitive, and that's probably good for the investors, because one way of competing is making your product lower cost and more efficient.
Yeah.
And that can only be good for the investor.
And we've also seen, I agree with that 100%, we've also seen a whole bunch of, we've got Easy ETFs, 27.4, Core Solutions, Realfin, and Austech, a bunch of new folks. They're all coming into the active ETF space, but we're seeing, we're now up to 14 issuers across the ETP market. It's great to see new entrants coming in at the same time.
Very much so. And I think there's quite a few other new entrants just lining up. So it's going to become a bigger and much more competitive industry, and the more the merrier. Yeah, for me, it's quite hard keeping track of all these statistics. You know, it was, when I first started, it was easy. There were one or two ETFs now. Now you're tracking 286 of them. But it's an exercise we do, and we think it's important to keep track on what's happening in the industry. And so we'll continue to provide our statistical services as long as we think it's helping.
Yeah, and it is. The growth and the new entrants is a good sign. We'll leave it there. Mark Brown, ETFSA, always appreciate the time.
Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Simone Cooper, Head of Business and Commercial Banking at Standard Bank South Africa. Simone, appreciate the time. Your Africa Unlocked conference was last week, second year it's been running. What were some of the sort of big critical topics that were being discussed over the conference?
So thanks so much for the time and great to be here. As you said, the second conference, and I think that some of the big topics and the ones that I certainly enjoyed were looking at things like AI and how is that impacting across Africa. Agriculture is obviously always a big topic. And once again, it was a topic that was something that was of huge importance. We definitely had an interesting section on family business and governance, and particularly how do you formalize family businesses and what does that look like for second and third generations? And then obviously, given the current environment that we're operating in, trade wars and the GNU were really topical items that were also on the agenda.
All of these, maybe not the government of national unity so much, but AI, agri, family business, I really like that. Trade wars, I mean, these are global issues, of course, but there are always going to be the angles that are local to both our country and our continent that become so hugely important for businesses operating here.
Absolutely. And I think if you look at something like agriculture in particular, it's a hugely topical piece at the moment. Mm-hmm. What was very interesting to have a look at is if you look at the global trade wars or trade patterns that are playing out, everybody's particularly worried about agriculture and agricultural exports. But interestingly, from a South Africa perspective, around 40% of our agriculture exports actually go into the continent. Mm. So those linkages between the businesses that we had at the conference last week, as well as many other businesses, and how do you stimulate agricultural trade across the continent is something that's critical for our economy and for the continent at large.
You mentioned artificial intelligence, AI. Of course, this is the big story of the last couple of years since ChatGPT arrived on the scene. I suppose the key point is that as a continent and a country, and as a bank, I would imagine as well, is we need to sort of chart our own way and in some ways lead our own way rather than just sort of being followers to a new big global trend.
100%. And a lot of the discussion last week was actually focused on how do you train AI models using African data and data and information from the local economies. All of the models that are being trained and built today are actually based on data from other continents and other economies and countries.
Yeah.
And for AI to be really useful within the South African context and within the African continent, we're going to have to look at how do you build these models, train these models, and make sure that they are Africa-specific going into the future.
Trade wars, and to be clear, trade wars are changing fast. And in fact, you were having the conference as President Trump was announcing new tariffs. I imagine this must be one of the big challenges, head scratches, but perhaps maybe also some opportunities from the delegates at the conference.
100%. And I think that part of the conference is around making sure that we create those linkages. We had around 150 businesses from South Africa and across the continent. And one of the real valuable pieces for the businesses that are there is actually the connections that they're making with themselves and other businesses. In fact, there was a business, a South African business that's in the automotive sector that was there and was at the conference last year too. And in fact, they've made linkages with some entities in Botswana and some in Uganda, and they've started to grow parts of their business from that. So really valuable from that perspective is how do you try and stimulate growth within the African continent given all of these changing trade dynamics that we are facing.
And that must, and the conference is, of course, Africa Unlocked. It's in the name, but there really is a sense. I mean, there's huge opportunity, and conferences like this, I suppose, bring people together and help sort of just understand what that opportunity is across the rest of the continent and how the likes of Standard Bank can sort of fit into that process. Because then there's probably a lot we don't know.
And I think that's exactly the point. A lot of last year's conference was spent around how do we really understand the opportunities? So I think there was a general view that people were not all on the same page around the opportunity. Mm-hmm. I think the pace of growth of Africa's population, you have wealthier, healthier people and many more people across the continent. What opportunity does that present for businesses? So a lot of last year was around making sure that we understand the opportunity. And then a lot of this year's conference was actually focused on, now that we understand it, how do you actually start to create those connections? And I think more importantly, being a business owner is sometimes very lonely for a lot of these people. And so actually just making those connections, talking with other business owners, other like-minded people around what actually are the opportunities, because there are a lot and businesses in this segment of the economy are very agile, are able to take advantage of them and are well positioned to grow their businesses if they can find the right markets and the right connections.
And opportunities both ways. This isn't just a case of South Africa into the rest of the continent. There's a ton the continent can bring into South Africa. This is really a flow of information and opportunity in both directions.
100%. I think I'm always astounded by going into some of these economies, the businesses that you see, the learnings that can be gathered from there. Yeah. In fact, I was speaking to one of our South African clients who was saying how much they had learned from a lot of the Ugandan panelists and a lot of the West African businesses that were on some of the panel discussions. So a huge amount to learn from all over.
Simone Cooper, Head of Business Commercial Banking at Standard Bank South Africa, chatting Africa Unlocked, a conference. Appreciate the time. That's it for today. Yesterday, we were chatting with Sahil Mateeni from 91. The US dollar entering a protracted period of weakness after 15 years of pretty much unstoppable growth. The question we asked you, if you agree that this dollar weakness will continue for many more years. Half said yes, absolutely, we're going to see more of it. And truthfully, it's what Trump wants. The rest was split between, nope, it'll bounce higher, and some of you saying dollar is king. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Siren, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Retirement, it's not just numbers.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.